swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Yes, the studio club. You can stop right in front.
All right.
Thanks for driving me in from the country, Stephen.
Oh. Well, thank you for that, Stephen. I was afraid you didn't like my name.
I'm not used to it.
Tom called me Stephen. It shouldn't be so hard for you, Kate. Are we friends again?
Why, yes.
I'm afraid I forgot my good manners before we left.
Well, it wasn't a matter of manners, but as I told you, Tom left no paper or document for you among his things.
Uh-huh. Well, possibly not. In any case, I had no right to be so abrupt. When a man's been in prison, it takes him a little while to adjust to gentle people.
Well, it's all right, really.
That's very kind of you and understanding. You are a gentle person. That's why your friendship means so much.
If I can do anything at any time.
Well, just talking with you once in a while is enough.
That wasn't what you said when we left the house.
Wasn't it?
You said you were Tom's best friend and that someday I would need you as a best friend.
Oh, my. Did I put it so bluntly? I seem to have forgotten how to talk as well as how to live.
Well, that's what you said.
Well, I meant, should you ever need a good friend, I would be here.
Oh, it's nice of you to say so. Well, thank you again for the ride, Tom.
Allow me.
No, it's all right. You really can't keep the car here in front of the entrance too long.
No, of course not. You've been very kind to drive with me. Not many people are willing to now.
I'm sure that'll change, Stephen.
I like to think so, Kate. I need faith like yours to believe it. We'll meet again, my dear.
Well, perhaps we will. Bye.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Hi, Trudy.
Boy, you're back early, aren't you?
Oh, I only stayed one night.
I thought you were taking a few days off.
Well, I don't know whether it's me or Belhaven. I just didn't feel at home this time.
Well, that's what happens when you start to loosen the old ties.
Listen, have you time for coffee or would you like something to eat? I'm starved.
What, didn't that guy I saw you with in the station wagon buy you a meal?
I didn't want one.
Oh. Well, from what I could see through the glass door, he was no big deal.
Oh, Trudy, were you ever with someone who was polite, considerate, wanted to be friendly, and just gave you the
creeps?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, what did you drive down with him for?
He was a friend of Tom's, my husband.
Oh, yeah, you told me about Tom.
Sometimes I wonder if I knew Tom at all. This man who drove me down, Stephen Wolfe, he helped Tom out of trouble once. Apparently, he thought the world of Tom and he looked me up.
It took him 3 years?
Well, he's been in jail.
Oh, brother.
He was a lawyer. He apparently did something illegal or something wrong.
Well, they don't jail you for doing something right.
I don't know what it was, but he can't practice now, and I guess he depends on friends.
Like you.
I feel sorry for him. He's really pathetic, but there's something about him I don't like. I can't tell you what, Trudy. It's certainly not because he's been in prison.
It sounds like he wants you to feel sorry for him.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, I don't blame him for that either. But Trudy, he did help Tom out of some very bad trouble. And he thinks Tom left something for him, some paper or document. I can't imagine what it could be. And I never found anything like that.
Well, did you tell him?
Several times, but that doesn't stop him. And, well, I can't forget that he helped Tom.
You can forget anything you have to, Kate. I did. But you have to work at it. Oh, here's your mail.
Wow, one letter pink with lavender stripes.
Who on earth?
Oh, there's a name on the back. Engraved yet.
Holly Benson.
Who's she?
She's a friend of Tony's. And I think of his wife.
Yes. This is Mrs. Cushing. Oh, ask him to wait. I'll call you as soon as I can see him. Well, honey, our gossip hour is over.
A gentleman caller?
Of course.
Weren't you listening?
I didn't catch the name, Claire.
Because I didn't mention it. Attractive?
Oh, let's say useful. Do you ever take up with any man who isn't? In one way or another, no. I don't think I care for your lifestyle, Claire.
You're not living it, darling. I'm not sure that you like it.
Well, let's say it suits me. This liberation business is for the birds, just not worth it.
Well, I'd say that you are the completely liberated woman.
Oh, darling, those girls would hate me. I toil not, neither do I spin.
And yet, you could afford to live in a suite like this?
Tony can afford it. Hugh Fletcher keeps me well informed.
Oh. Remember when we first met, Claire? I was trying to dance in the chorus and you were a secretary.
Mm-hmm. I'd say we've both done rather well.
Maybe. I've got a husband who can take me or leave me and manages to do both.
That's your fault, Holly. You're always there.
I can't see that your way is working. You don't want Tony, yet you hang on to him.
Hang on to him? That's the last thing I'm doing.
But you won't give him a divorce.
Oh, he's been talking to you.
No, not much. But anybody can see he isn't happy.
He's got a new girl. You've met her, I suppose.
No, he hasn't brought her around.
He likes an air of mystery. Well, he can have all the women he wants. I never interfere. What he really doesn't want is a divorce.
Suppose he did.
You don't know him, not the way I do.
Oh, that's for sure. But I should think if you're through with him, that you'd want a divorce.
But I'm not through with him. He's useful. I like the way things are. I like being Mrs. Anthony Cushing. And if you want the truth, Tony likes having a Mrs. Cushing in the background. It saves him from getting involved.
Suppose he is involved.
He may think he is. That won't last.
Well, dear, I have to run along. I'm sorry you're missing our 15th anniversary party.
A whole evening of sentiment. No, no, no. I'll be out of town. Tony will be there, of course.
Well, he was Ned's best man.
I remember. And he'll bring his new girl?
No, he won't.
Pity. If he were, I wouldn't miss it. Oh, Holly, thanks for dropping by. Some of my old friends I do miss.
Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me.
Stephen Wolf, I didn't recognize you in this dim hall.
I was looking for suite 7C.
Well, I just left it. Are you seeing Claire Cushing?
Well, only as a favor to you. But I'm not sitting downstairs in the lobby any longer awaiting the lady's orders.
Well, I am dying of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. You always were, Holly.
All right. I won't ask. I'll guess. Tony's beginning to press for a divorce. Claire wants advice.
Holly, you haven't changed.
Oh, Stephen, tell Claire to give Tony his freedom.
No, that hardly concerns me. I'll listen because I've been asked to. I'm involved in something too big now to waste time on this trifle.
A new job, Stephen?
No. Something so big that I shall never have to take orders from any man or woman again. If you'll excuse me, Holly...
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Finomet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finomet holds up longer than you do.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Finomet, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
And gentlemen, I am, surely you know, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. For those of you not with me yesterday, and why not, pray, I must needs repeat a statement made by Miss Matilda Crawley to Miss Rebecca Sharp. Your close attention, please.
Until Rawdon's mood improves, until he behaves properly like my own darling nephew, I shall not submit to his whim that I return him to London.
When that declaration was delivered in Becky's sitting room, little did Miss Crawley suspect that Rawdon was hidden in Miss Sharp's bedroom. Oh, dear listeners, it may not be prudent to say what follows, but I say it nonetheless. Rawdon spent most of the night in Becky's sitting room. Well, knowing as you do that her bedchamber is perilously close by, you may or may not believe the location of their rendezvous was where I have stated. Well, you must please yourselves. It matters not to me. Regardless of what room they occupied, there was little conversation. However, the following exchange did take place, and so we go backward in time.
My darling, my love, my soul, my sweet, we must talk.
Talk is confounded waste of time. Already you've moved far away from me.
1 centimeter from you.
Far too far. Becky.
No, I will not kiss you again or be kissed by you again until we've talked.
After?
Oh, yes.
Ever after?
Forever after.
Talk.
Tomorrow you must do precisely, exactly, altogether what your gracious Aunt Matilda said.
Gracious Aunt Matilda, good gracious.
She can be gracious, my dearest, and will be, my darling, if you please her, my love.
I shall please her, my angel. Kiss me.
Not yet.
Damn.
She thinks you've behaved abominably. I was wrong to tell you to mope about. Tomorrow you'll wait upon her, fawn upon her, flatter her no end.
Good gad, Becky, it's what Papa does. Auntie despises it.
Auntie doesn't like your Papa or anything he does. She adores you and will adore what she despises in Sir Pip. Will you do it?
Not unless you kiss me.
Rawdon.
If you kiss me, there is nothing on earth or in heaven I'll not do if you but ask it.
There follows, patient listeners, quite a prolonged interlude of, shall we say, silence. Let us pass the time by inquiring how it is that Captain Rawdon Crawley has captured Becky's heart. He is not a patch on her wit, intelligence, artfulness, nor in any other virtue is he comparable. Why does she think him wondrous? Becky would, if asked, answer thus, quoting Mr. Shakespeare.
I have no other but a woman's reason. I think him so because I think him so.
Good enough. In any case, it will have to do. Oh, dear me, that romantic interlude touches on and yet on. Ah, they appear about to speak again. Ah, yes.
My dearest, Tomorrow morning, after you take Aunt Matilda her breakfast in bed.
I'm to do that?
Oh, yes. I'll tell Giles to give you the tray. And after you wake her with revoltingly merry greetings, and after you woo her and win her, I must know how all went. We will meet at the stables.
My blossom, you've said and said we're never to meet.
Who will see us there except the stable grooms? No, wait. Miss C is annoyed that you do not like me very much.
Not at all.
You tell her you are trying. Indeed, you promised to... Yes, to give me a riding lesson. Yes, my darling?
Did I not promise you the moon and all the constellations? Am I to balk at a riding lesson? Now, my moon and stars, may we stop talking.
Another interlude. Patient audience, let us have an interval of our own, and then return.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I regard as an intrusion any further eavesdropping upon Rawdon's and Becky's idyllic interlude. Now, 'tis morning. Rawdon, obeying orders, has presented himself at Miss Crawley's bedside.
Oh, Auntie, good morning, dear Auntie.
Rawdon? Such clamoring at the door. I'm but half awake. What have you there?
Your breakfast tray, my lady. I pinched it from Giles.
Oh, dear, I don't like you to see me all muffed and tousled from sleep and in my nightcap.
You're pretty the spring morning when the dew is upon the grass.
Such nonsense. Such pretty lies so early in the morning.
Come, eat. Prepare to meet the day. Gad, if I were my brother, which, thank the dear Lord, I'm not, I'd say prepare to meet thy maker.
What a mood you're in this morning. Mood. It's changed. You've changed. You're not that tiresome moon calf you've been so long.
No, Auntie. Dear Auntie, I am not.
What has wrought this miracle?
If you'll but eat your breakfast, I'll tell what has come upon me.
Very well. I'm eating. Now, tell me at once.
Shall I first plump your pillows a bit?
No. Tell me, what has changed you?
A sleepless night. I did not sleep, Auntie. Something quite wondrous prevented. It was as if someone spoke to me.
Lady Blessington again?
Oh, no.
I'm thankful for that. Go on, dear boy.
The voice said, Captain, you have behaved abominably. You are wrong to mope about. I swear I heard a voice saying that.
It must have been the Queen's Crawley's ghost, then.
Now, don't make a game of it, Aunt Matilda. It was a shaking experience. Can't you see it was? Am I not myself again?
You are, you are.
Then welcome me back.
Indeed I do. What a delight to have you, my boy. That other fellow.
I couldn't abide him myself, crashing bore. Why did you not disown him?
I all but did.
And serve him jolly well right. Now, Auntie, today we'll take a drive. Have an outing, just you and I.
And poof-poof.
And poof-poof. We can't have your little spaniel weeping his heart out whilst we're having a lark.
Eh? Lovely, lovely. And we'll take Rebecca as well.
No.
Now, don't say no. If you've reformed, reform. And that includes Rebecca. You must like her.
I'm not prepared to go that far, but already to please you, I've made an effort. Agreed to give her a riding lesson this morning.
Well.
So, let us not take her on our drive. I want it like old times. We'll stop in Mudbury, have a bit of grog and a bit of a laugh at the bumpkins. Come, Auntie, just you and I. What do you say?
I say it's a joy to have you back. I say, how can I resist anything you ask? Except, oh, how can I spare you to London when you're my dear boy once again?
Oh, Becky sits prettily arranged under a tree near the stables. And how pretty her smile when Rawdon arrives to sit beside her.
Dad, Becky, I've done it again.
Done what?
Gone too far. Auntie is so ravished to have me back, she says, how can she bear to pack me off to London?
Oh, she will, she will. She can deny you nothing when you charm her.
You're not worried, love?
Oh, how can I be when all the world is heaven?
How can you be when you can manage anything?
Now, my darling, may I ride?
Right. I'll have Simon saddle the dappled mare.
No, your horse. I want to ride Hector.
You've ridden before? I didn't know.
Of course.
But can you manage a stallion?
Darling heart, didn't you say I can manage anything?
You can, you can. Simon! Oh, there, Simon!
Yes, Captain?
Saddle Hector. There's a good man. Becky, my sweet, no one's about. One kiss.
What I want most, I can't manage just now. Tonight, I can.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I have put up with and even encouraged Becky's lies, but not this one. Dear listeners, Becky has never ridden anything but the children's ponies. Now, what are we to expect? Come back to me on Monday if you would know. Through the weekend, I am still your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Everybody. Peg, Debbie, Aunt Maggie, I got some film for the camera so we can take some pictures tonight.
We're in the kitchen. What'd you say?
Where's the camera? I bought some film today.
You know, you always talk to me when I'm in some other room and I don't know what you're saying at
Where's
all.
Where's the camera? I thought we kept it on the closet shelf.
Well, it's either there in the bottom desk drawer or the cupboard under the bookshelves in the living room. Why do you want the camera?
To take some pictures tonight.
Tonight? Pictures of what?
Informal shots of you and Debbie and Aunt Maggie.
Well, we're not ready to have pictures taken tonight, for heaven's sake.
Now, look, didn't you say the other day we've not taken any pictures for ages?
I did, but
We're always saying we're going to, and we never do.
That's right, I know.
My goodness, what's the matter?
Bob wants to take pictures of us all tonight.
Tonight? I'm not ready to have my picture taken tonight.
Well, of course
not. What are you two talking about?
What do you have to do to get ready? What? You both look fine.
Oh.
Now, look, for once, I bought the film, and let's do what we said we wanted to do, take some pictures.
No,
what's going on? I'm trying to study.
Daddy wants to take pictures tonight.
Tonight?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I'm certainly not going to have my picture taken in a house.
And I'd have to wash my hair. I have a test. And I'd have to get dressed up. I'm not wearing these old slacks.
All right, all right, all right. I didn't say we're taking them right this second. After dinner is what I meant.
Well, what's the frantic rush? We don't take pictures for months or even years, and now suddenly you fly into action.
Didn't you and Aunt Maggie say the other day you wanted to take some informal shots inside the house?
Yes, but why not this weekend?
Well, I'm raking leaves, putting on storm windows, and Aunt Maggie is going over to Lanesboro to see my mother, aren't you?
Yes, they're driving over tomorrow to pick me up.
That's right.
Okay, then what's your big objection?
Well, no, I certainly want to take a bath and
it's not going to show in a picture whether you've had a bath or not.
Well, I know what Peg means. I want a bath, too, and get dressed up.
All right. I'll get the camera set up and the flashbulb equipment right after dinner.
Well, I'm going to go right up now and wash my hair before dinner, then.
Well, we're practically ready to eat,
well,
Debbie.
Well, I've got to put it up and sit under the dryer.
Oh,
maybe we should take our baths before dinner.
No, the water pressure isn't good enough. You go take yours now, Aunt Maggie, and then after dinner...
Oh, while I'm doing the dishes, you can take your bath.
Yeah, I think...
Why do we have to have all this bath-taking when it's not going to show in the pictures?
If I'm wearing one of my new dresses, I want a bath.
Now, listen. When we talked about taking some pictures, didn't we say we wanted some informal ones? Not something that was all staged and stiff and looking the way we don't look most of the time.
Yes, yes, and I agree with you, but as you can see, I'm wearing one of your old shirts. I do not care to be recorded this way for posterity, with a shirt tail flying and the sleeves rolled up and a...
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, that's good.
But if you dress up, Peg, just... something casual, huh? Skirt and sweater stuff.
I thought the idea of taking some informal snapshots was to send them out in some of the Christmas cards.
Yes, 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 if they turned out all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, when people send pictures of themselves at Christmas time, the background is usually Christmassy.
Yeah, well, those pictures were usually taken the year before.
We've got that beautiful artificial wreath in the attic that I put over the mantel. Now, we could cut some pine boughs and bring them in, and I know I have some large red candles.
Yes, I'll help you find them in the attic.
Yeah, fine.
Can't we just take some pictures? Why does it have to look like Christmas?
You got colored film, didn't you?
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, then we have to think of that, too, Aunt Maggie. Wear your blue dress.
I thought my beige was a little red jacket, if you're putting red candles on the mantel.
Yes, yes, that would be nice. Maybe I should wear my green lounging robe with a gold braid, you know.
I hate to always be the fly in the ointment, but may I mention again that I thought this was all going to be informal?
Well, what kind of informal did you have in mind, dear? Me in an old nightgown bending over the washing machine?
I just intended to take a few pictures of you two sitting in the living room in front of the fire or wherever, reading, knitting, talking, or even something typical, such as a few shots in the kitchen, baking some cookies.
Yeah, that would be typical. Mm-hmm. Or scrubbing the floor.
All right. Forget the whole thing. I went out of my way to iFilm.
Honey, now don't get mad. Don't get mad. Now, we just want to look as nice as possible. Yeah. Is that so awful?
No. It's just that whenever we decide to take some pictures, it becomes a sort of Cecil B. DeMille production.
That's because you become Cecil B. DeMille. Wait until he starts posing us, Aunt Maggie. I keep expecting Charlton Heston to come tearing through the living room on a chariot.
Well, that's very funny.
Thank you, very funny. Dear.
Okay, come on. Let's have dinner. Get the baths taken. In the meantime,
you go out and cut down some small pine branches to put on the mantel. Please.
All right.
Since I don't know where your Christmas things are in the attic, dear, why don't you find those and I'll finish getting dinner.
Well, fine. All right, Aunt Maggie. I'll do that right away, then.
Wait a second. One small point. Where's the camera?
It's not on the closet shelf?
No.
Well, look in the cupboard under the bookshelf. Did you get flashbulbs?
Yes, I thought of all that.
Good. Usually we have film and no flashbulbs, or flashbulbs and no film.
Well, now we don't seem to have any camera. It's not here.
No, it has to be somewhere. You look around. I know I saw it just recently, so I know that it's here.
Now, I want everybody ready. Lights, action, by 8 o'clock.
All right, dear. We'll be ready. You find the camera.
It's nearly 8:30. Where is everybody?
We're coming. I decided to wear my green velvet pantsuit.
Okay. At this point, I don't care what anybody wears. I just wish they'd get down here. Debbie!
I'm coming!
doing?
My hair isn't dry.
It looks fine. Now, where's Aunt Maggie?
She'll be right down. Where do you want us to sit? Or maybe I should stand. I think a pantsuit looks better standing. Maybe with one arm on the mantel like this?
Honey, this is not for the cover of Vogue, and you never stand with one arm on the mantel.
Well, if
I
it's so
don't
nice.
Think my hair looks right. It got too damp when I took my bath.
Oh, it looks fine, good, fine. Yeah. Mm. Now, you sit on the couch, Aunt Maggie, and Debbie, you sit on the floor right beside her with a magazine or something.
Oh, boy, I've got a test tomorrow, and I haven't even studied for
Peg, Peg, what are you trying to be?
George Sand, I think, listening to Chopin play the Waltz Brillant.
Sit down.
Oh. May I sit on this footstool with one leg under me?
Okay. Just now, let me get you all in focus. Aunt Maggie, do something with your legs.
What does he mean by that?
Your feet are pigeon-toed. Just cross them at the ankle.
Oh, I am not pigeon-toed.
No, no, I just meant they were at that moment.
He just meant right now, Aunt Maggie.
Daddy, please hurry up. I got a test tomorrow.
Now, you sit still, Debbie. If you knew you had a test, you should have done some studying for it and not wait until the last minute.
Please,
could you all sit still
so I can focus?
My hair looks terrible.
Your hair looks fine, Aunt Maggie. It really does look fine.
Well, I'm not getting you in it at all, Peg. Would you move that footstool closer to the couch? And can you lean a little, Aunt Maggie?
Which way?
Toward Peg, naturally.
I'm not going to sit here and be snapped at.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you. It's just that... Debbie, what are you doing?
I had an itch on my leg and I had a scratch.
Well, will you please sit still?
Oh. I think you're too close. After all, I went up to the attic and got all this Christmas stuff to decorate the mantel. You're not going to get any of it in at all, you know?
You know, the red of my jacket isn't the same red as the candles.
Well, don't worry about it. Mm. You know, you never can depend on colored film turning out exactly right. Sometimes it's too greeny a green, or red things look orange. Mm.
Would everybody like to keep quiet a minute?
Tell us when you're ready, though. Now, count three.
Yes. Then we can all smile when you say three.
You can stop smiling until I get this in focus.
Are you getting the mantle in the picture so it looks Christmassy? I think you're too close.
Look, I'm trying to take a picture of you three, not the mantle.
Well, I decorated it, dear.
All right, we'll take several, but for the moment, let me get one picture of the three of you, okay?
Okay.
Quit fussing with your collar. It looks fine.
Just straight.
Debbie, look up.
I thought I was supposed to be looking at the magazine.
Well, I think I should be doing something. Mm.
Give Aunt Maggie a book.
No.
Grab one out of the bookcase. Yeah.
What am I supposed to be doing? Chaperoning the two of them as they're reading?
Well, get a book, too.
No, honey, I think this is ridiculous. We never sit this way.
All right, now, will you hold it? I've got it focused now. Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it. One, two, three. Smile!
What happened?
Flashbulb didn't work, as usual. I thought you checked it.
I did.
Well,
now, wait a minute.
Yeah,
don't everybody get up and walk off. Wait till I check things again.
Oh, well, I know.
Will you please come back here?
Oh,
no wonder we never have any pictures.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold.
have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
You know, Em, I feel sorry for the parents.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Now, all summer, they've been looking forward to school reopening in the fall. So the peace and quiet, they're going to enjoy.
If you'll pass me your cup.
Thank you.
What do you think of Kurt?
Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
Kurt. Oh, Kurt. Well, I might almost like him if he weren't marrying my sister. Except for one thing.
What's that?
Well, I'm just naturally suspicious of any man who is so obviously enjoying the company of women.
Now, that sounds like a subject worthy of a research grant.
Well, I'll bet one's in the works. And I could save them a lot of money if they'd just asked me.
Do you want one slice or two?
Aren't you going to ask me?
I did. One or two.
Emily, you're not playing fair.
All right. I'd like to know why men who obviously like women are not liked by other men.
Well, I thought you'd never ask. Well... I think it's part jealousy, but mostly it's because men still think the company of men is superior to that of women. And any man who obviously enjoys women lacks judgment.
That is pretty rotten, you know.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't. It's just the way it is,
well,
darling.
Times are changing, dear. By the way, I thought your father was magnificent the way he toasted Lynn and Kurt.
Yes, I agree, but he couldn't really help himself.
Caroline did manage the announcement very well, didn't she?
Yes, and the wedding is in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, darling, I feel sorry for poor Hodges.
You mean Caroline's gardener?
Mm-hmm. He'll be run ragged getting the garden into shape for the wedding, and it might rain anyway.
Courtesy of your father, if he can manage it.
Well, Dad's good, but... Em?
Hmm?
What did you think of Kurt?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. A different reason, though.
What?
I don't think he really likes women all that much.
Well, tell me more.
He relishes the power he has over them. He's much too aware of it. And that's just not a situation where liking enters into it very much.
Hmm. That's very interesting, Em. And is there any more strawberry jam?
Try this. Lime marmalade.
Mm. See, that's not bad.
Not bad.
Hey, you early bird.
Oh, hi, Angela.
We're rehashing last night's party.
Yes, I'm getting the Emily Carter analysis of Curtis Rogers.
Curtis Rogers?
Mm-hmm. Now, there is someone who obviously is unaffected by his charms.
Well, Lynn certainly is happy with him.
Well, I'm going to finish dressing, and do you want to drive to Jefferson with me, Angela?
Not today, thanks. I think I'll take my car. I'm going to move back into my apartment.
Oh, no.
Oh, look, I've been here long enough.
Well, Angela, any special reason?
Of course not. If you need me, I'm only a phone call away. But if I'm not here for a while, well, maybe Ginger Foster will cool down.
Well, I think you should live your life to suit yourself, Angela.
Has anything else happened?
Oh, well, nothing new. I just think Susie's the one who's bothered the most. By way of Betsy Foster.
Well, look, you two, I have to hurry, and I'll see you at the hospital, Angela.
Okay. Angela, do you really want to go?
Emily, I think it's a good idea. The children are at school, and... Well, look, I'm only 5 minutes away.
Of course, you need a life of your own.
What's that? Oh, have we done that to you?
Oh, no.
No, Em. I suppose there's just no such thing as a life of your own. For it to matter at all, you have to share your life with someone.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh, young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Well, I decided this morning, Jennifer. Next weekend at my house, right? And a special treat. We'll make our own pizza. No, you roll it out. You don't have to throw it up in the air. Someone's at the door, honey. Now, look, don't forget, the Chinese evergreen takes a lot of water. Bye. Who's there?
Marsh.
Marsh? Now, how did you know I was here?
Oh, that was easy. You changed your emergency call number at the hospital switchboard back to the one here.
Well, come on in, Hawkshaw.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Well, anyway, I thought it was pretty good.
What do you want?
Well, right now, I'd like to talk to you about Emily.
What is it?
It's not urgent.
Well, then couldn't it wait until tomorrow?
I'd like you to take care of it tomorrow.
Since it concerns Emily, why aren't you talking to Jason?
I already have, and he's the problem.
Look, you can't expect a nurse to mediate a question between two doctors, not in Live 2.
Angela, this is a special case.
I think it's your ego, Marsh. You claim that for every case you're on.
Oh, do I? Well, maybe it is. But anyway, I want to consult with another doctor on Emily's case, and Jason doesn't want Emily informed about it.
Well, that's easy. Tell her yourself.
Angela, I don't like to buck Chase on this.
Oh, but you'd like me to do it.
Well, damn it, Angela, it's for Emily's good.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen patients become very depressed when they find their doctors have not been honest with them.
I said, tell her yourself.
Well, I would, but I don't want to do anything that will cause the slightest ripple in their marriage.
What do you mean?
Well, it's a small chance, to be sure, but if Jason opposes me, Emily would probably pick up on it.
Oh, Marsh, their marriage is stronger than that, believe me.
Okay, you may be right. But then, you see, I don't have much experience with that kind.
Mrs. Carter and I are on the same committee for the Arts Council.
Well, that must be interesting, Ginger. Does it take much time?
We meet once a month at the museum.
I wish I had something like that. Maybe when I get my degree.
What do you think you'll do then?
Oh, probably. Maybe teach.
Betsy tells me you all were at River Run last night.
Yes, we were. Here, your cup is empty.
I imagine it's a lovely estate.
Oh, yes. It's been in Caroline's family for years.
Ah. Thank you. Emily.
Yes?
We both care a lot for our families. I mean, it certainly is something we have in common.
Oh, I think so.
And everyone has a different way of handling a problem.
I guess that's true.
Oh, dear. I thought I'd be able to talk to you about this, but it's harder than I thought.
Is it about Betsy?
Oh, no. Well, maybe it is. Betsy and her father are very close, and if anything happened to Marsh, Betsy would suffer a great deal.
Are you talking about your husband and my sister?
Oh, yes. You do understand.
No, not really, Ginger. I know you think something is going on between them, something more than their association at the hospital.
I'm sure there is.
Why are you so sure?
When you've lived with a man a long time, you really get to know him.
Sometimes, yes.
I know Marsh that way. I can tell when he walks in the house just what kind of a day he's had.
I still can't see why you think Angela...
It's the way he is when her name is mentioned. He seems to come more alive, I guess. It's the way he has of not listening a lot of the time, and yet...
Doctors can get awfully wrapped up in their work, Jennifer.
I know he has a feeling for your sister that he doesn't have for me.
He may just admire her, Ginger.
It's more than that, I'm sure.
You know, Angela is almost as upset as you are about this. She's been talking of leaving Jefferson. Even leaving Chicago.
She has.
Professional friendships can be very important. It's even a necessary part of their work. Why, it would be strange if doctors and nurses didn't like each other.
And you've never worried about it? I mean, with your husband?
No. No, I can honestly say I haven't.
Do you know how lucky you are?
I think I do, Ginger.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.